Hi, everyone. I got tired of sitting down, so I decided I'm going to stand up and give our sermon today. And all of you do this and stretch yourself. Yeah, I don't know about you. The last 2 months, my shoulders are so painful, constantly looking at the computer. Yeah, so do some exercises and get ready. Yeah, well, when Pastor Rick and Pastor Jim and I planned how do we do the book of Proverbs, there were several topics that we picked, but I had specially asked, can I speak on wealth and poverty? And when I picked it, I did not think we would be going through a crazy time in the universe where some people are getting extremely rich and other people are getting extremely poor. I did my accounts yesterday, and for the first time, I only paid $20 in 2 months to MRT. So my travel was $20. So now I'm really wealthy in my travel account. And the same with going out to eat. And at the same time, we know so many people that are poor because they can't go to work. They haven't had any income. One of our own sons hasn't worked since March, you know. And so this is really a time I did not think God will set it up where I can talk about wealth and poverty, and people are actually going through wealth and poverty. Now, the notes would be on your screen, on your chat, and you can follow from there. And I titled today's sermon as Blessed to be a Blessing. And if you remember, Matt read to us from the story of Abraham, from whom we all come from as far as faith relationship is concerned. God promised him that he would bless him so that he would be a blessing to the entire world. God's plan for the entire humanity is to bless Abraham and through him bless other people like David, and then ultimately send the Lord Jesus Christ, and through whom we not only have earthly blessing, spiritual blessings, but we have earthly blessings. Now, the reason I picked this topic is because often we have extreme views, but not a balanced view. So I hope you get to hear a balanced view from the book of Proverbs today. And I worked on book of James, which matches exactly with what the book of Proverbs had to say. It matches up with what Paul has to say. It matches up with what the Lord Jesus said in the Gospels. So this is a biblical principle that I'm about to give you today, about 5 or 6 different major principles that I hope we apply in our lives. Okay, now Proverbs has over 45 verses to talk about wealth and poverty. I'm not going to list all of them in a row. Then you would be bored, I would be bored, and some of you may jump out the window, right? We don't want to do that. So instead, what I will do is take us through some major themes. Number one, wealth and prosperity are not wrong. Often Christians seem to think that if you're rich, there is something wrong with you. You're not generous. You're not giving away. You're not giving enough ministry to the missions. Or you are just so wealthy, why would you want billions of dollars? There seems to be a mindset among Christians that wealth and prosperity are wrong. What Proverbs tells us is they are not wrong. First of all, they come from God. Second, they come from wisdom. Third, they come from careful planning. Fourth, they come from hard work. And fifth, they come from good living, right? So the first thing we need to keep in mind is that not necessarily wealth and prosperity are wrong, right? So there are people that God's going to bless them abundantly. I look at my own family. My ancestors were people who climbed palm trees and gathered milk from a palm tree that they sold, and they probably lived day to day. But my ancestors, 4 generations, 5 generations ago, they started believing in the Lord Jesus, and eventually God continued to bless to the point none of us in my family live on day-to-day wages. We live by trusting God. At the same time, we live pretty luxuriously compared to Indian standards, right? So there is a way God blesses people. Now we will see what is that for as we go a little bit further. The second principle to keep in mind is neither is poverty a bad thing. Right? Now we know this from so many biblical examples. The Lord Jesus himself didn't have a place to lay his head down, and he lived on what other people gave him. Poverty isn't necessarily a bad thing. Paul possibly was a very wealthy man because he traveled internationally, like we would go to Oxford to study or US to study. He went to Jerusalem to study from Tarsus and had good life, but at the same time, later he sacrificed everything to the point sometimes he said, I have nothing to eat, nothing to wear, nothing to food, shelter, and no clothing, and yet he trusted the Lord and served him. So neither is poverty a bad thing. We actually will learn as we go through the Proverbs, God is the maker of both the rich people and the poor people. So we shouldn't really look down upon poor people. Matter of fact, the James, that's what the problem was. When they saw a rich man come into the church, they gave him a preferential seat. But when the poor person came into the church, they thought he is under God's curse or he is not wealthy as God blessed. So they made him to stand in one corner, right? So we need to remember, even poverty is from the same God, the maker of the poor people. And it goes on to say he is their defender. And then it goes on to say there is no shame in being poor, although being poor is not very pleasant. It is painful. We will see all of that as we go through. But sometimes poverty does come from self-inflicted lifestyle, right? It comes from A, laziness, B, corruption or ill-gotten, as NIV translated, and C, lack of self-control or frugality. And we would look at that. So sometimes poverty is self-inflicted, and we would see that. And there is a way to overcome it, right? But what the writer would say to us is what matters in life much more than wealth and prosperity or a good name. You can have all the wealth and have an ugly name, in the sense not your name is ugly like Andrew or something like that. Like, you are not respected in the community. You are not looked upon, right? So you can have all the wealth and people will look down upon you. That's not good at all. Matter of fact, the better thing is to have a good name. But more than that, matter of fact, the next two sections has the most number of verses. And that is contentment with what we have. And then generosity and justice for the poor. Contentment with what we have and generosity and justice for the poor. Those three, good name, contentment, and generosity and justice for the poor, triumph everything that the writers of Proverbs have to teach us. That's what really, really matters in life, much more than even wealth and poverty. Now, the opposite to good name, contentment, and generosity are robbery, corruption, dishonesty, cruelty. And that will end in destruction. Okay, and that we will talk about fifth. So the bottom line the writer wants us to do, or the writers of Proverbs want us to do, is to thank God for all the blessings that we have. Be content in life with what we have, whether it's wealth, extreme wealth or extreme poor. By the way, parenthetical note, if you're extremely wealthy, share it with the two pastors and the two deacons. We would really like some help. Yeah, that's just a joke aside, right? Bottom line is, be thankful for what God has given you. Be content in life and do justice for the oppressed and help the needy. Right? That's really why God blesses us. You remember again Abraham. He's promising to bless Abraham to be a blessing to the entire nation. Right? So the whole whatever the wealth that God gives. Now, in modern day, we think of in monetary values. We think of, I have that much money in stocks, I have that much money in savings, that much money in my bank account. That's how we think. But ancient world, and I think it's kind of true now too, is in possessions that we have. Like I have 100 coconuts, right? Or 100, what else do you have? Papayas or durians or whatever you have, right? Think of that as blessings that God wants to use to give it to other people, right? So let's go back to number one. Wealth and prosperity are not wrong. They come from God, wisdom, careful planning, hard work, and good living, right? So in Proverbs 3:9-10, it talks about how it comes from God. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats to brim over with new wine. There is a way, God has a way of blessing us when we honor him with the wealth that he has. Now, I have seen this again and again. When we start giving people money, it seems like God keeps giving us more to keep giving. One of the amazing testimony, it's a little bragging, but I will say it anyway, right? When we first went to India as missionaries in 1996, we had a pastor friend, and they were really poor. And so Lori and I decided at the end of the year, December, whatever money comes more than we had budgeted, we would give it all to that pastor. Now, we thought that meant $20 or $30, right? That's how much we lived on our budget. And so we thought, okay, that'd be a $20, $30 extra that we would give. Well, God really tested us, because come December, we had $400 extra. Now, back then in 1996, that was a lot of money. And when you cash it into Indian rupees, that's a ton more rupees. I think it was close to, 20,000 or so Indian rupees, almost like a pastor's 2 or 3 months income. So Lori and I'll be honest with you, I was so tempted to say, wait a minute, we can give pastor $100 and we'll keep the $300, because we will have a rainy day when we need the $300. But Lori and I said, no, we made the promise to God, whatever comes extra goes to that pastor that we will give. And so we gave. That was 20 some years earlier. The Lord has still never let us down. He keeps giving us money. When we came to Singapore, we lived in India and the Philippines, two economically poor countries, right? So we come to Singapore, we have enough money for 1 month. So we say to the schools, we will stay for 1 month, and then I don't know if the churches will support us, friends will support us. Well, short story, we are here 4 years. We have been here 4 years, and God had not let us down, right? So when you honor the Lord with your wealth, he has a way of multiplying. He has a way of giving it to you. But we will learn that we shouldn't be stingy with it. Matter of fact, it goes on to say, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry. My mom and dad used to teach me that verse when I was little, because all of a sudden when I turned 9 years old, they both quit their jobs and went into full-time ministry. And we went from people who had a lot of servants to people who are counting whether we have money for food. Yeah. And my mom and dad used to always say that verse, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry. And sure enough, I have not gone hungry. And when you see me, you know I have not starved. I actually have had so much to eat. Yeah. And so, first of all, wealth does come from God. Second, it comes from wisdom. Matter of fact, wisdom herself speaks in several verses, 8:18, 14:24, 19:8, and says, with me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. The wealth of the wise is their crown. In other words, wisdom will give them wealth. One who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. Now, we've been spending 10 weeks studying about what is wisdom like. And if we would follow all those principles in our lives, we will be prosperous. In other words, we won't make, for example, horrible mistakes. There was a study done in South America. All of a sudden, every community where Christianity went, people were getting rich. So a sociologist wanted to find out, well, what makes them rich all of a sudden? Is God blessing them all of a sudden? Well, they come to find out the husbands who used to earn the income and immediately would go to a bar or to a brothel, now that they have become Christians, took the money home. So all of a sudden, wives and children have money. They can send their kids to school. It changed community. Wisdom has a way of changing and our lifestyle and making us prosper. Same way with careful planning. Chapter 21, verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent leads to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. In other words, when we carefully plan, carefully budget our finances, that does lead to prosperity. When Lori and I first got married, I didn't know the word budget, right? Wherever the money came, it went away. But then fortunately, our church back then had a seminar that taught how to make budget, something totally new to me. And I learned how to live within the budget. Careful planning of our expenses, careful planning of what we buy, careful planning of even saving money for a rainy day, right? That also increases wealth. Hard work, chapter 14, verse 23 says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. In other words, don't say, I'm going to do the hard work. Instead, when you actually do the hard work, there is prosperity. That's why people who become rich are usually people who didn't sit around on their hands. They were people that worked hard to gain prosperity. Now, we saw last or the previous week about the Proverbs 31 woman. I think it was on the Mother's Day. She is a very industrious woman that gets up early in the morning and does all kinds of merchant work. And as a result, she is prosperous. That brings us to good living. Matter of fact, the writer says in chapter 3, verse 1 through 2, my daughter and son, do not fret my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart. They will prolong your life for many years and bring you peace on prosperity. There is that when you listen to God's word, listen to wisdom, and you implement that in your life, it does bring peace, long life, and prosperity. The house of the righteous contains great treasures, but the income of the wicked brings ruin. Whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its rewards are riches and honors in life. 28:20 says, a faithful person will be richly blessed by God. Yeah, so there is good living that results in good and prosperity. So when you first lesson that we need to keep in mind is automatically we shouldn't dismiss rich people. We shouldn't dismiss saying that all Christians are supposed to be poor and struggling, right? There's a way God does bless people. Matter of fact, all the great ministries in the New Testament were done by, and all the later ministries like mission work is done by people who support the missionaries, people who are rich. Aquila and Priscilla, you know that name. They were elite people that supported much of Paul's work. And you know Susanna and Joanna in Luke chapter 8. They, from their own personal purse, supported the Lord Jesus' ministry, right? So without these rich people, that people that whom God blessed, ministry cannot happen. So we shouldn't automatically dismiss rich poverty, prosperity as something bad. They could come from God. They could come from wisdom. They could come from careful planning. They could come from hard work, and they could come from good living. Okay? The second thing to keep in mind is even poverty is not a bad thing. As soon as you see a poor person, don't think he or she is under God's curse. That's not how it works. Matter of fact, it goes on to say, God is their maker. Matter of fact, in chapter 17, verse 5, it says, whoever mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Right? In other words, God is the one who kept them poor. And so we shouldn't mock the poor people, because when we mock the poor people, we are mocking God, who is their God. Matter of fact, it goes on to say in 22:2, rich and poor have one thing in common. The Lord is the maker of them both. Yeah? They don't have a different God. We don't have a different God. Whether we are rich or poor, we have the same maker. So we need to realize that being poor doesn't mean they are under some kind of God's curse. 29:13 says, the Lord gives sight to eyes of both poor and the rich. They are seeing things with their eyes, or we are seeing things with their eyes, if you want to put yourself among the poor. Either way, it is God the maker of rich and poor. Goes on to say, he is their defender. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will extract life for life. Right? This is very important. Many times even Christians seems to not do what is right when it comes to people that are poor people that are working under them, right? Philippines, we have this system on the 13th month. No, on Christmas, you had to give a 13th month pay. Sometimes Christians cringe to do that. That's a secular government that says you have to give that 13-month pay to them. But Christians and Christian organizations try to get around it somehow. Don't do that. God is their defender. He will take their case to the court and extract life for life. Yeah? Frightening words. In 23:10-11, it says, do not move the ancient boundary stone or encroach on the field of the fatherless or orphan, for their defender is strong. He will take up their case against you. Right? Again, it's going to an agricultural community where just because the neighbor now doesn't have father in the house, the people decide to move the boundary line slightly, thinking there's no one to defend them. They have God as their defender. Right? So even the poorest of poor person has God as their maker, God as their defender. Right? So we should never make fun of the poor person. There's something else. If you happen to be poor, and if we happen to become poor, by the way, my mom used to always say to me, in India, there's a lot of poor people, right? And there's a lot of a lot of Christian views on should you give alms to the poor, because they're all over the street always asking. And they also have systems where they have to give it to somebody over them. It's like a thug over them that's watching and making them give money. And there are lots of philosophies, and two major ones is don't ever give the money to the poor, and another one that says give money to the poor. But my mom always used to say, at least that's how I remember. Now, she may have not said it. I'm probably blaming it on her. But she used to, in my mind, she used to say, give it to the poor because one day you may be the poor person. So every time somebody asked me money, I always gave, because I know one day I'm going to be the poor person, right? There is no shame in becoming poor. Matter of fact, in 19:1, it says, better the poor who walks in is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. Better to be poor than a liar. I like the next one. I probably shouldn't read it, but I will read it anyway. Let beer for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty. Remember their misery no more. And it's a crazy verse to have, because I know people like in Myanmar don't believe Christians should be drinking beer and wine. But what the Bible says is, listen, they are already poor. Let them have a little bit drink and enjoy life. That is a story told about C.S. Lewis. He is on his way with his students to, he was walking on the way, and a poor man asked him for money, and C.S. Lewis gave him what he had in his pocket. And the students objected by saying, why are you giving that poor guy money? He's just going to waste it on beer. And C.S. Lewis says, that's what I was going to do with that money. Yeah, so he was going to go drink, and he gives it on to a poor guy who is in poor poverty. Let him have a drink and enjoy life, because he's already in a bad situation. But the writer is very conscious, and that conscience is that being poor is not easy. Remember, it goes on to say in 13:8, a rich person's riches may redeem their life, but the poor cannot respond to threatening rebukes. They have no defender. Now, we did see God is their defender, but when they are poor in the society, they can't defend themselves. Wealth attracts many friends, but even the closest friend of the poor person deserts him. Poor are shunned by all their relatives. How much more do their friends avoid them? You remember the story of the prodigal son? When he first went with a lot of money, he had a whole bunch of friends. And then when the money ran out, they all left. Yeah, the same way, poor really have a bad situation. The rich rule over the poor, verse 22:7 says, but the borrower is a slave to the lender. Right? So it's not really all that pleasant to be a poor person. Here's where I need to give a caution, which I already talked about, that sometimes poverty comes to us without anything happening to us. I knew a friend in my college days. They were very wealthy, and they did something in the stocks. I was too young to know all that details. All of a sudden, they went bankrupt. Yeah, and so one day, they're a millionaire, and a couple of weeks later, they are poor. They have no money. But sometimes, though, poverty comes because of self-infliction. And first one is laziness. Matter of fact, chapter 6, verses 10 through 11, and 24, 33, and 34 are exact words. It is so important that the writer says it twice, at the beginning and at the end of the book, right? A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of hands to rest, and poverty come to you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. In other words, when you don't work really hard and I want to only sleep, there is poverty around the corner. Do not love sleep, or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you will have food to spare, says 20:13. Now, this is not saying you shouldn't sleep at night. Some people I know don't sleep at night. That's not what this is saying. You have to be diligent and not lazy. Proverbs also talks about the story of the ants. You remember how we talked about it a couple of weeks ago when I preached? Ants are diligent. They have no master. They have no army head. But yet they work all through the summer. So when winter comes, they still have food. Right? That's what this is talking about. In chapter 24, there's this very vivid description. It says, I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns have come up everywhere, and the ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruin. Now, when you have a field like that, that has thorns and thistles and rocks, it isn't going to have any food in it, right? And that's what the picture is all about. Those who work their land will have abundance of food. Those who chase fantasies will have their fullness of poverty, right? In other words, laziness causes poverty. Second, corruption. When people make ill-gotten gains, it will take away their life. ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value. Chapter 10, verse 2. 13 says, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Chapter 20, verse 17 says, food gained by fraud tastes sweet, but once up with a mouthful of gravel, right? In other words, it doesn't last. A fortune made by a lying tongue is fleeting vapor and a deadly snare, Proverbs 21, 6 says. So just because you somehow get money illegally, I don't think any of the CIC visitors or members are guilty of that. But keep in mind, any money that's acquired in corruption isn't going to last. Yeah. And this is one thing I often, every time I watch TV shows where people partner with drug dealers, I want to scream to them and say, don't join them. This is not going to last. And sure enough, Lori and I watch a show called Border Patrol. Anyone that tries to take drugs into the country gets caught, and then they have 15 years to stay in a jail or something like that, right? The third way sometimes self-inflicted poverty comes when there is lack of self-control or frugality. Chapter 13, verse 18 says, whoever disregards discipline comes to poverty and shame, a disciplined life. Whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive will never be rich. That's talking about me and Lori. I like wine, Lori likes olive oil. So we know why we are not rich. But what it's really saying is not being wise with what we have. Matter of fact, that it says in verse chapter 21:20, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but the fools gulp them down. They don't keep it safe and use it frugally, so that they're always spending and spending and spending and not treasuring. 23:21 says, do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Yeah, this is why I think Christians in general speak against drunkenness, because when you drink too much or eat too much food, you all of a sudden have, you're spending all your money on food and drinks that you eventually end up in rags. Yeah, so the lessons that we have learned so far, first of all, it's not a bad thing to be rich. God himself prospers us. It's not a bad thing to be poor. God is still our maker. But sometimes foolishness comes by self-inflictions. But then we come to the central section, which says, what matters in life are good name, contentment with what we have, generosity and justice for the poor. A good name, it says in 22:1, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold, right? So you could be a person that has so much silver and gold, but nobody cares for you, or nobody esteems you, nobody appreciates you, nobody wants to be your friend. It's just not worth it, right? Second is contentment in life. I want to read all these verses to you, because this is in a way the writer is repeatedly talking about it, because he wants us to learn this particular lesson. Contentment. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil, 15, 16, and 17. Better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattening calf with hatred. Yeah, contentment is a lot better. Greedy brings ruin to the household, but the one who hates bribe will live. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice, 16:8. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting, but with strife. Yeah, this is the verse Lori's grandmother told me when I was talking about going to a casino, because they had a good buffet for a very cheap price. She said, you better, and she quoted the verse, and then she said, you better have a hot dog at home than go to a casino for a buffet meal. Yeah, and I thought that was a great lesson. I don't think I always followed it, but I tried to follow it a lot, right? Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting and with strife. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. You know people, we know people who work so hard to get rich, and they get so rich, and then all of a sudden, they lose their life. They have either cancer and they die, or they have no way of enjoying life. And the wealth just passes on to someone else, right? Cast but a small glance at rich, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle, right? So if you happen to get a whole bunch of wealth all of a sudden, just take a quick glance and move it away, because we never know when that wealth is going to go away. Riches do not endure forever. Crown is not secure for all generation. Now, this is Solomon who is saying this, and he knew he himself didn't get the crown that belonged. I mean, he got the crown that belonged to the firstborn, but he is not the firstborn. So he himself knows that crowns don't last for generation. Better the poor who walks is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. The one who is eager to get rich will end up getting punished, right? So it's really important to keep in mind, whatever God has given us, we should really be content. And if he gives us plenty, again, contentment is really the key. The second important key, I think, is generosity. Chapter 11, verse 10 says, when the rich prosper, the city rejoices. Now, think about that. Why is the city rejoices? He is generous. He shares his wealth with other people. She shares her wealth with other people. We saw that even in Proverbs 30:31, when that lady prospers, she gets up early in the morning and she makes food for her maids. Right? That's how she blesses. When the righteous prosper, she or he, the city rejoices. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Chapter 11:25. People curse those who hoard grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell the grain to the poor people. And now we see that, I think, in Singapore, there were a whole bunch of people hoarding toilet paper. That really didn't make any sense to me. But here we are. There's a tendency to hoard things, and people curse those who hoard grain, but they pray God's blessings on the one who was willing to sell the grain. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. 14:31. Whoever is the friend of the one who, everyone is a friend of one who gives. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Whoever shut their ears at the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be heard, not be answered. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. If your enemy is hungry, give him or her food to eat. If he or she is thirsty, give them water to drink. In doing so, you will keep burning coals on their head, and the Lord will reward you. That, by the way, a verse repeated again in the book of Romans. Yeah? When you have your enemies, help them out. Don't avoid them. Help them because they have the same maker that we have. The stingy are eager to get rich and are unaware that poverty awaits them. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. If a king judges the poor with fairness, his throne will be established forever. 29:14. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the righteous of the poor and needy. Yeah? 31:9. all these verses talk about how our job is to really defend the poor, give to the poor. So more than contentment, I think what God really, really appreciates is our generosity, us giving to people who are in need, us blessing them with what we already have, right? That's one of the main reasons the Lord blesses us. That's why my sermon title is Blessed to be a Blessing, right? And that's what he wants. Now, the opposite to all these good names are robbery, corruption, dishonesty, cruelty, and the end is destruction. Now, I have all those verses referenced, and I'll be even happy to pass this Word document to you. But I won't read through that because I want us to not be people of robbery and all of that. I want us to finish with the two main concepts, and that is the concept of contentment and generosity and righteousness. First, in our own life, we need to be content. Yeah, and then second, in the lives of the other people, generously give. God is an amazing giver. Actually, there's a beautiful verse in James. It says, you don't have because you don't ask. Think about that. When was the last time you asked God to bless you? Right? And then, now we don't because we think that's what the charismatics do. I ask all the time, make me a millionaire. I want to be a millionaire. I have no shame in saying that. I want to be the first millionaire missionary. Yeah, I'm sure there are others too, right? But the second part of that verse in James says, you don't have because you don't ask is the first part. The second part, it goes on to say, you don't have because you ask for the wrong reasons. Like Andrew's reason. You remember what Andrew said? I want to be a rich person because I want to be the first millionaire missionary. That's a wrong reason. I know that. That's why the Lord hasn't given me $1 million, right? Ask the Lord to give you plenty of money so that you can pass it all on to other people, needy and the poor. And use it for God's kingdom. The Lord Jesus said, when you have money, with it use to gain people. So that when you are dead and you go to heaven, the people will receive you. People who, because of your generosity, came to know the Lord Jesus. They will receive you in heaven when you use the money wisely. So the bottom line, I'm almost done, is thank God for what you have. Take a minute and thank God. I'll wait for you. Thank you, Lord, for what I have. Second, be content in life. Now, that's a hard thing to do when we have Joneses and other people around us, yeah, who have more. I was a little uncontent yesterday since Pastor Rick and Susan are there. I'll tell them I wanted to be their luggage carrier and go back to U.S. So I wasn't very happy they left me back here and they were gone. Yeah, but I am learning to be content. God keeps us here for a reason, right? And then do justice for the oppressed and help the needy. There's a verse in Proverbs that I pretty much pray every day. Secretly, I think this is probably the first time Lori had heard me. It is part of the Lord's Prayer. So I say it as part of the Lord's Prayer. It is in chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. Now, I don't say the first part because it's a little complicated, but I say the middle part. It says, two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. And the first thing he asks is, keep falsehood and lies far away from me. And that's, I should probably pray that prayer, but that's not the first one I usually pray. I pray the second part that says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. You remember the Lord Jesus praying that give us this day our daily bread? He is quoting this proverb. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me my daily bread. Now the writer goes on to say why he didn't want poverty and why he didn't want riches. He says, if I may have too much, I will disown you and say, who is Lord? I made it my way. I made my wealth my way. I don't need God, right? That's the danger with having too much riches. You don't see the need of the Lord, right? Imagine you have a lot of wealth and there is a need. What's the first thing you would do? You would look in your checkbook to see how much money you have. For the old people among us, the rest of you would take your smartphone and see how much money you have. You don't say, Lord, how am I going to pay for this need? We heard Jed talk about how when they came to Singapore, they had a lot of need because they are poor, right? They're not rich people that don't trust God. Then it goes on to say, don't make me poor either. Because if I become poor, I may be tempted to steal and dishonor the name of my God. Yeah? So this is a prayer that I ask you to pray. First of all, be thankful for what the Lord has given you. Be content. Do justice for the oppressed. Help the needy. Be a blessing. Be a channel of blessings to other people. But then also pray this prayer. Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, help us to be people of contentment. People who are glad with whatever you have given us. If you have given us plenty, help us to be glad in that and use it to serve other people, to bring justice, to bring the needy, to be generous with what you have given us. If you have made us poor, help us to be content. But Father, we pray that it is not our self-destruction, such as our laziness, careless planning, that keeps us poor. Instead, Father, help us to think of all the wealth, whether it is money or possessions or power or prestige that you have given us. Help us to think of that as a way to bless the people around us, as a way to pass them on to other people so that they would look at you. And they will come and surrender to you. Give us neither poverty nor riches, but please give us our daily bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.